You know, yesterday I got an email after the show.
Yeah? What did it say?
It said that I wasn't being too gracious to you when I called you an idiot at the end of the show.
Well, if Jesus said it, it must be true.
But that only proves my point. Even though I called you an idiot,
yes,
God is still dealing gracious with me.
You are living proof.
That's right.
That our Father is a gracious God.
He is. Now back to the subject of prayer. And I said last night to study the first three chapters of Ephesians. Did I say the whole book or the first three chapters?
I wasn't listening.
That figures. But in Ephesians 1 and 3, I think we have prayers of Paul that he prays. And I believe that these prayers should be prayed. These are prayers that go along with what is happening today.
Today.
And Paul starts off in Ephesians 1:15 and says, "Therefore I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints," notice this faith of yours, it's the faith that belongs to the members of the body of Christ. Now the faith, it connects us with the teaching. Faith comes by hearing what God has said.
And is it wrong to say that the teaching came in verses 1 through 14?
Exactly. And Paul gave us the teaching in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. And now he says, "Hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers." And this is the prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," Jesus Christ is a God, you know that? "The Father of glory may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him."
Now, wait a minute, I'm going to stop you for a second. I know you hate me stopping you here.
No, stop.
Know.
Go.
Notice that nothing in this prayer so far is about changing God.
No.
It's not about redirecting God or trying to make him accommodate our whim. It's about coming into a revelation and realization of him. What's a realization? It dawns on you something that is true.
Yep.
We're praying into a fact here.
And I wrote in my margin here, the word realization means connect with some previous fact.
Beautiful. That's it right there. Some previous fact. That's what prayer is all about, touching the steering wheel.
That's it. And he says, "The eyes of your heart being enlightened for you to perceive," and he gives you three things he wants us to perceive. First of all, what is the expectation of his calling? Now, this is referring to Christ himself. Now, I'm praying this. As we're going through this, Martin, we need to be praying that not only us, but those listening may have a realization of this. And the first thing he prays, that we might know what is the expectation of his calling. Who's calling?
This is heavy-duty truth. Jesus Christ's calling?
We need to have a realization of what is the expectation of his calling. In other words, what is Jesus Christ expecting? And now, we can't go back in and expound Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. This is heavy truth.
Yeah, because what he's expecting is what we are to be expecting. Okay. That's lightning. Wow.
So, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, and remember, the Lord Jesus himself has expectations. He is the promised Messiah to Israel. He's expecting that to come. As a matter of fact, the Father even said to him in Psalm 2, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet."
You mean Jesus isn't a preterist?
He's waiting for this event, isn't he?
Yes.
He's expecting this. But we also learn in Paul's letters that he's not just the Messiah of Israel. He's also the head of the body, which is the ecclesia, or church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a calling that was not revealed until Paul.
That's right.
And so the Lord Jesus has glories connected with heaven itself. See, the glories were expected to be unveiled on the earth, Christ's earthly glories, but the body of Christ has an expectation in heaven because that's where Christ's expectation is. He has another role. Isn't it interesting to think that the Lord Jesus has multiple roles that he plays in God's purpose?
Yeah, what's even more astounding is his expectation is ours.
Yeah.
Whoa. And when we find out what his is and that becomes ours, that might help improve your day a little bit.
Now, for those listening, go back and study on your own Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Maybe one of these days, Martin, we'll have to go through those for people on this program.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1, 3 to
14. Because that describes the expectation we're talking about here.
So he says, "For you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints." Did you know that the Lord Jesus not only has a calling, but he has an allotment?
Tell me about it.
What is an allotment?
It's an allotment.
So, well, what did God, you know, in the old, in the Hebrew scriptures, we read of lots being assigned.
They had certain portions of land. Every tribe had a certain portion of land.
And in Hebrews 1 says that God has made the Lord Jesus Christ, he allots all things, heaven and earth.
Yeah, only he can give out what's his.
So, and then it says, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing.
So it's our allotment. I getting ahead of you?
We are getting ahead. But I want you to notice what this prayer is. He is praying for us to perceive already revealed truth.
That's the key. That's already revealed.
And it doesn't change anything.
Right.
This prayer, more than anything, changes us. It brings us into a realization.
I just thought of a phrase that goes along with this. Conformed to the image of his son. Yes. We're conformed. Prayer conforms us, not him. Okay, in that verse, we're conformed to his image, speaks of. And here, we're conformed to his expectation. We're conformed to what he has already accepted and is expecting.
Yeah. So let's pray that. This is a prayer. Father, we pray that those listening and us ourselves will have perceived what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints and what is the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing. That's a prayer. We just prayed. I wasn't on my knees, was I?
No.
Were my eyes closed?
No.
Was I squinting?
No, you did break a little bit of a sweat. I saw a little bead of sweat trickle down your forehead.
I'm actually nice and cool. Yeah, I'm not hot and bothered at all.
Must have been the shadows then. That's fantastic.
That's prayer.
That's prayer. You weren't levitating.
I didn't say a prayer.
You weren't rolling on the ground.
I wasn't saying prayers there. I was praying.
You were praying in accord with...
I had God's well-having and being.
Yeah, that's right. You were doing it in the right order, too.
So, and this is a prayer of Paul. Any comments? You got anything else to add to that, Martin Zender?
No.
Okay. Shall we look at another prayer?
Yeah.
Let's turn to
Ephesians. That one was so good. Let's do another.
Let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And it says, and I want you to pay attention to this, because this is important. I am going through some of Paul's prayers, but Paul's prayers are always based on revealed truth. Paul gave truth, and then he prays. And that's the right order. God reveals truth to us, and then he prays about it.
There's also something associated with all of Paul's prayers, and that's thanks. Notice in verse 16 he says, I pray that all the saints do not cease giving thanks for you.
Yeah.
And if you look up every time the Apostle Paul prays, you will find thanks in the vicinity, right in the context, praying with thanksgiving.
So here's this might be another challenge to people listening, and homework assignment. Read Ephesians 1, 3-14, and then pray the prayer, verse 15-22. You think that's a good homework assignment?
Mm-hmm.
All right, do that. Now let's turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Paul says, on this behalf am I bowing my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we talked about the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that prayer, we're talking about power. It's the God of our... And here in chapter 3, it's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
More intimate.
This is an intimate prayer. Okay, now notice this. After whom every kindred in the heavens and on earth is being named. That's an important thing. Paul is now bringing in the whole purpose of God here in Ephesians 3. Because what we're going to see in Ephesians is that God has a purpose. He has a family, an earthly family, and he has a heavenly family. Isn't that interesting? He says, that he may be giving you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be made staunch with power through his Spirit in the man within. Now notice, why do we need this power? So that we can do a lot of miracles? So we can go out and preach to everyone? No, what does it say? Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, that word dwell means to be at home.
Boy, that sure doesn't make good Christian television.
Now, by the way, do you know people, and here's another correction we have to make, and I have to point out an error. People think that we love just pointing out error. Actually, I hate it.
I wish people had...
But the teaching of the indwelling Christ is not for the unbeliever. If you hear an evangelist say, invite Jesus in your heart, just throw up. Because it's the worst doctrine ever. Never ask an unbeliever to ask Jesus in his heart. That's so stupid.
Why? It's a bold statement,
because
sir.
The evangel has nothing to do with asking Jesus in your heart. It's believing a message about an accomplishment of Jesus Christ.
That's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Say that again, seriously.
The teaching of asking Jesus in your heart is bad, because the gospel, the evangel we proclaim to an unbeliever, is about believing in the accomplishment
of Jesus
Christ.
It's about something Christ did, whereas ask Jesus in your heart,
that's all about
you.
It's all about
you. Yeah, that starts with you.
Here in Ephesians 3, he's talking about the family. Here, he prays that we might be made staunch with power through his spirit and the man within Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. And this is talking about him being at home in us. It's a family atmosphere. And he continues that you, having been rooted and grounded in love, should be strong to grasp together with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And this is referring to our calling, by the way.
Is one thing we pray going to change the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height?
Absolutely not.
Here's another word, grasp. That we should be strong to grasp. I tie this word in with a realization of the truth. We're grasping something that exists. We're hitching our caboose to an engine here. And the engine is the breadth, the length, and the depth of the love of Christ.
And it says to know the love of Christ as well, which transcends knowledge. That you, here's the goal of the prayer, that you may be completed for the entire complement of God. This is basically us entering into God's purposes.
And again, this doesn't show up very well on Christian television.
No.
Because it's very calm, it's very peaceful, it's an inner work, it's a work of peace. You're just sitting there in your chair, and sitting there in your chair, you could be the most spiritual person on the earth because you're at peace. And again, you can't play that on Christian television. They need to see people screaming, running, praying, singing, crying, flogging themselves to death. We're at peace. And that's a higher form of spirituality than any of these flesh works.
Hey, why don't we just close this program by you reading verses 20 and 20? Oh, you got something to say first?
This goes right along with what you were going to say. We want to hitch our caboose to God's plan. We want to touch the steering wheel of what he's going to do. In a nutshell, here is God's plan. And this is the Apostle Paul from Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. All right? And I don't think this is from the Concordant version. I think this might be from maybe the Phillips, but this is really good. God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and it is this. He purposed long ago in his sovereign will that all human history should be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth should find its perfection and fulfillment in him. And in Colossians 1, 15 through 19, Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. It was in him that the full nature of God chose to live, and through him God planned to reconcile to his person everything on earth and everything in heaven, making peace by virtue of Christ's death on the cross.
What a way to go the weekend.
Powerful, powerful words. Folks, ponder these words. Be at peace. Believe what God has said in spite of what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zender.
And this is Dan Sheridan. Have a great weekend.
See you on Monday.